Hello and welcome to the Pueblo Star Sports Podcast. I'm Ben Kaysen here with Brandon Samora on a beautiful Sunday in Pueblo, Colorado. Brandon, how we doing?
Ben, it's a fantastic day. I mean, we're out of what seemed like the blizzard of the century for me on Friday up in Monument, We're back. It's nice again. I've got shorts and sandals on, so you know it's a good day.
That's right. Shorts and sandals. We're getting into the summertime, folks, and baseball is heating up. We've got a lot to update you on. We took last week off for Easter, and boy, games have been really interesting to watch, but more than that, you know, it's just fun to be in Southern Colorado at this turn of the weather. So, I mean, you know, you go and you're hiking. I did a bunch of hiking this last week. We did our first big spike ball tournament of the year. Absolute disaster for me, but it was a lot of fun. It's good to be in Pueblo when it's getting warm.
Mm-hmm. No, it is fantastic. It's one of those times of the year where it's not too hot. Most of the days, it's not too cold if you're not out too late, you know. And there's just, it feels like there's just so many things to do, and you can, you know, like you said, you can hike, you can play spike ball, you can go play pickleball.
Oh yeah.
I'm a big fishing guy. I'm definitely going to be fishing here in the next few weeks. Catch me post May 13th graduation. I'm going to be fishing my brains out and it's going to be great. And I mean, disc golf. Golf. Yeah, I mean, right. And you have all of these sports that we're about to talk about, Ben. You have something going on. It feels like every single day of the week. So if anything, just go out and watch some sports because there's a lot of things to do in Southern Colorado right now.
Absolutely. And this is baseball weather.
Oh, yeah.
To this point. I mean, I know I'll say anything is baseball weather. I've been saying baseball weather for weeks, but legitimately we're getting into, this is where the fun of baseball season comes. I mean, the early season games are a big deal for teams, but we're coming now down somewhat of the stretch run for the high school teams and for the college team here at CSU Pueblo, where really it's due or die, put up or shut up for your team for this season. And you know, we talked in our last podcast kind of ad nauseum about, hey, it's Mesa versus CSU Pueblo, you know, kind of, hey, this is where you need to decide what the season's going to be like for CSUP. They ended up getting swept there, but they're trying to make a little bit of a stand now since getting beaten. So they're having a good weekend this weekend against Colorado Christian, trying to, again, you know, recover the season like that. But high school baseball, we're finally seeing some people play against each other, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and we finally, you know, we've seen all the non-conference games for our high school teams, and we've seen everything that these teams have put together. And, you know, a lot of our teams have surprised us really well. I mean, you know, this is one of those years where everyone in the SCL feels like they have a fighting chance.
Yeah.
And now we get to see them, like you said, play against each other. Now is where they can match up, because now that these teams in the SCL, especially this season, are playing at such a high level, you know, I've only been out to a few games this year, but it feels every game almost has that playoff atmosphere. Like you can tell both teams are in it. They know what every single one of these games mean. They know the stakes at hand because, you know, theoretically, all of these teams could make a run at the playoffs here in the SCL. And obviously Pueblo West will be in the 5A playoffs, but all of these teams have a shot to make the playoffs. And I think they all know that it's going to be a dogfight. I mean, till the very last week of our prep baseball season, Ben, it's going to be a dogfight for all five of these teams that are in 4A along with Pueblo West.
Absolutely. And, you know, we've been talking a lot, you know, really all we could look at is say, hey, this is what happened last year. Here's some common opponents. That's kind of been how we've approached, you know, how to rank these teams against each other. What do things look like? And early on, man, you know, now we've seen a couple of league games between each team. Over the next few weeks, we'll see more. The way the league is set up, there are six teams in it: Central, West, East, Centennial County, and South. They'll play each other each twice. So you get a look at each team and see what they look like. And early on, Brandon, you know, granted, it's very early, a couple games. I'm going to say it. The more things change, the more things stay the same. Last season, it was Weston County at the top. It was Central and East in the middle. And it was Centennial and South on the bottom. I mean, South is starting to, you know, contend with those middle teams. I think they're moving up into that tier. But early on, I think that looks like the early narrative here. Tell me about it a little bit.
Yeah. And really, I mean, we knew the start for, you know, especially Centennial and South. I mean,
it was impressive.
Did not know how many games these teams were going to win. And, you know, credit to them. They came out of the gates and they were lights out, especially in, you know, non-conference schedules with, you know, sometimes you schedule a team and you think they may be great and they may not be so great and, you know, vice versa. And that happens a lot, especially with, you know, these first part of the season non-conference games. But going into it, I mean, these scores have just been exactly like you describe, Ben. I mean, just blowout wins for some teams, and then you see those middle of the pack teams, you know, have the closer matchups.
And, nail, and right?
Yeah, yeah, and just, you know, consistently it's either a blowout or it's a two run game or less. Like, yeah, there's no in between, and it is just so much fun. And really, I think, you know, those tiers, I think you were correct in the fact that, you know, you have County West up top, but I think even, you know, that middle of the pack, I think it's just a foursome now, honestly. Yeah. I think that these teams still can compete with each other, but, you know, we've already seen a few blowouts of these teams. And, you know, I mean, one of the scores I can reference real quick is just the Easton Centennial score from last week. I mean, 9-1, East really never had a doubt in their mind that they weren't going to win this game, but I still think it's there that Centennial and South can compete with at least East and Central at the minimum. But and like we talked about before, West and County are just in a league of their own right now.
Right now, they definitely are. And we get a chance to see that kind of happen this week, which will be a lot of fun. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But, you know, we mentioned South. The game of the year so far was South and Central. That was a crazy game. 10-9 was the final. Central was able to win that game. But just like you're saying, I think that tier might be a little bit wider. But early on, I tell you what, County has passed their two tests with absolute flying colors. 30-1 between the two games against South and Centennial combined. A 12-0 win against South, 18-1 over Centennial. So in baseball, those are huge blowout wins that make a statement. County is making an early push to be the favorite in this league. West survived Central 12-9. That was actually a pretty close game, but they beat East 7-1. So I'd still say they're in that top tier. And obviously, we can't count West out until we see it. But boy, County's been impressive so far.
Yeah, County really has been impressive. And, you know, we talked about some of those guys we thought coming into this season that were going to be good. And, you know, it just seems that, you know, those guys we talked about, we thought were going to be good. They're great. Yeah. And they have more guys that are coming up that are just playing lights out. I mean, you look at Jonathan Gonzalez leading this team with a .564 batting average. I mean, the dude's been unconscious offensively. I mean, he's just been absolutely raking. And, you know, it goes back to what you talked about before the season, Ben, pitching. And County has been absolutely lights out with that team ERA. It's been hovering just, you know, between 3.5 and 3, I think, all season. And they're sitting at 3.33 right now. And one of the things that stuck out to me looking at this County team is the strikeout numbers compared to everyone else, because you've got Braxton Vale and then Roy Higginbottom, that 39 and 36 strikeouts. I mean, just absurd. Through 19 innings for Vale and 21 for Higginbottom, and you have 39 and 36 strikeouts. I mean, these guys have just been absolutely lights out on the mound as well.
It's crazy. I mean, you look at those stats, it's video game numbers, right? I mean, you go, as a team, they've struck out 119 batters in 75 innings, which, you know, in baseball, you typically go, yeah, that's really good if you strike out a batter an inning. They're at just about 1.5. So they are, as a team, on a ridiculous pace. And if you, you know, expand that out, you mentioned Higginbotham, 36 strikeouts in those 21 innings, and Braxton Vale, 39 strikeouts in 19 innings, which, for those of you who are mathematicians at home, that's over 2 strikeouts an inning. So as a team, they're striking batters out, but their depth isn't just a couple of pitchers, right? Gonzalez has pitched well, like you mentioned. Glenn has pitched well, a sophomore, 11 1/3 so far. A few walks, but has struck out 20 batters in 11 innings casually. You know, once again, almost 2 strikeouts an inning. So their depth has shown so far. You know, let's just go ahead and get the cat out of the bag here. Pueblo West plays them this week. First time in this big matchup. Last season, the two teams split their two matchups against each other. This week's game is at Pueblo West. So that is going to be Saturday at 10 a.m. What are some of your keys for County against Pueblo West?
This is a game where I think it happens every time County plays Pueblo West. Hmm. It doesn't matter if it's the Pigskin. It doesn't matter if it's softball on a cold night in November. It doesn't matter if it's baseball on a Saturday, this Saturday.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. There's always going to be that chip on the shoulder for County. They always, you know, they always have that idea in their mind that, you know, West is, you know, they're looking down on them. They're that big brother that, you know, they put your hand on your forehead and you just never let them score. You never let them touch the ball. And County always has that mindset. And sometimes it works. Sometimes it plays into the hands of Pueblo West, and Pueblo West, you know, may come into it undermatched or, you know, not as hot as a County Hornet team. And they just smack them around. They just play their game. They stay within themselves. So I think County just don't let the emotions get ahead of you, because this is a matchup where coming into it, you know, record-wise, statistically, rankings, you know, you're playing better baseball right now than these Pueblo West Cyclones. You've had a better start to your season than them. So I think they've just got to stay within themselves, stay composed, because it's going to be a close game. It's not going to be a blowout by any margin, I don't think, but County just has to stay within themselves, and I think they can win this one. But I mean, this Pueblo West team, like we saw in the first two games of league play, I mean, they're not going to lie down to anyone. They're here to play. They're here to try and take that top spot away from the Hornets.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, you look at Pueblo West. This is a team that last season as a club hit 390. This year, they're hitting only 316, right? So their offense has not come back around. We talked a lot about the starters that have left. This is a young team. Their best player is freshman catcher Logan King so far. But for Pueblo West, this is a young lineup with not a lot of big game experience. Great coaching, great system, all these things. So Pueblo County has a position where, hey, we're probably going to throw Vail or Higginbotham, maybe both. We'll see how that works out. You have a chance for your starter to really, really mess up Pueblo West here. If Braxton Vail comes out there, gives you six innings, gives up a run, strikes out 10 or 11, that's a massive statement. And County's offense has been able to back him up so far. So I think the big key, and you know, I'm a broken record on this for County, your starter can go out there and set the tone early. Let's say Pueblo West goes out and scores four in the first inning. That kind of shows, hey, this is going to be a dogfight. Pueblo West is a little bit better than us. County can really silence West early on in the season, and there's a big chance for it on Saturday. That's the big key for me for County.
Yeah, there's a really big chance for it. And I think, you know, one of those other things too, on the mound, I think that, you know, just County has, that's where they're shining this year. They're so good on the mound. And really, like you said, if someone comes in and throws, you know, a lights out five, lights out six, you know, in the range of those innings, you know, I don't think there's any way, if it's, you know, a few run margin, depending on where it is, I just don't think that on the mound right now, I don't think Pueblo West can keep up with the Hornets.
Yeah. See, that's going to be the question. Pueblo West does have kind of their ace is Andrew Plutt. He's been pretty steady this year. He's pitched 25 innings, given up just 8 runs in those innings. So he's been kind of their workhorse. Outside of him, though, they've struggled to kind of find that second, third starter. So I don't know if it's going to line up that Plutt's going to pitch for them in that game. But for either Plutt, or I'm guessing Davian Baca is their other starter they might go to, the pressure's on. In baseball, I always love, you know, you have the ace-off games where, like, say it's, you know, let's go modern day. It's like DeGrom versus Scherzer, right? You step out there and you go, okay, the guy on the other side might be putting up some zeros. The pressure's on me to put up some zeros. That can get to guys, or it can elevate guys. So for Pueblo West, it's a similar key. If you're Andrew Plutt and those guys, I would love to see Pueblo West strike first and then Plutt really answer and pitch well in that game. So yeah, I mean, it's going to be a fun one. This is a great early statement litmus test of this rivalry. And I think, you know, I'd be interested in what you say. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I think County might have a leg up so far from what I've seen. So if you're West, you want to interrupt that thought right off the bat and show we're still here. We still run this league.
Yeah. And one of those situations, again, I mean, where Pueblo West, they play in that 5A schedule a big time with their non-league schedule. I mean, comparing their non-league schedule to anyone else in the SCL, I mean, they would probably do just about as well as Pueblo West did, just going, you know, around that 500 mark, maybe just below. Yeah. So that is, you know, that can sometimes skew your perception of a team too.
Yep.
So I think the Hornets, as long as they know their place, they know where they stand, I think we're going to get a great game, because we've already gotten a few games where, you know, you don't know which team's going to win. Both teams are pitching lights out. Both teams then, you know, flip it at some point, and, you know, they each have a few big innings. So I think these are going to be exciting games. But I think if that total run count, I think you got to find one of those numbers. And I think if it stays below five, you know, 2-3 game, I think the Hornets come out on top, you know, 7 out of 10 of those. I think, you know, 9 times out of 10, Hornets will win that one if it's going to be that low scoring game. But if West can get the bats going, I'd say it's anyone's matchup.
Absolutely. That's good stuff. Yeah. So that'll be a fun game this week. But additionally, just the league itself is going to keep getting intense. So go check out for your team where you should be. So quick, just a couple sentences, check out for each team. West, like we said, they're 6-5, but they've gone 2-0 in the league so far. County, they're 12-1. They've gone 2-0 in the league so far. So those are kind of the top two teams early on. But there's been some close games in there, specifically for West. Their game against Central was a 12-9 win, but that one was real tight. Central, they're 6-7. They beat South 10-9 in that crazy game. And then West beat Central 12-9. So they almost won that one, trying to make that statement they move up. Right now, I'd probably say Central's the third best team, but it's really tight with these rest of these teams. East, they're 9-5. They went 1-1 within the league so far. They beat Centennial. They lost to West. And then you go Centennial. Well, they're 0-2. They got blown out by County, blown out by East. And then South, they are 0-2. Close game against Central, but then they got blown out by County. So it's a real tight league. If my mind is going to be changed about the rankings of the teams, which right now I feel like is going to be a lot like last year, this is kind of the week to see it. We're going to see a lot more of these games, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, because we're almost through that first round. You know, we'll be after this week, we'll be two-thirds of the way through the first rounds of the matchups. So this is that point where, you know, teams win, teams lose a game they shouldn't, teams win a game they shouldn't. This is the point where we can, you know, continue to see where these teams will be for the rest of the season, because there's not a lot of time left. I mean, our baseball seasons go so quick, and it's so much fun, and it feels like it just goes by in an instant because, you know, we pack so many games into such a short time span. So this is going to heat up really quick. And like you said, Ben, this is going to be the week, I think, that kicks it all off for the rest of the spring, because this is going to be big week for all these teams. A lot of big games coming up. I mean, I don't think there isn't a game coming up that isn't a big one in any of these teams' mind, because they all know how tight this league is. They know that, you know, they're all their own worst enemy when it comes to the playoffs. You know, probably the only one that could maybe lock themselves in for a higher seed right now is probably the Hornets.
Yep.
You know, if disaster happens and they lose a few games in a row, they're the only ones that could probably still sneak in.
Yeah.
I think all of these other teams know, they know that they're going to have to fight, especially to keep home field advantage. And especially, you know, just to keep everything going hot into regionals, because that's where everything's going to culminate for all six of our SCL teams.
Absolutely. Got to get hot against tough competition. So that'll be a ton of fun. Kind of on that baseball topic, let's throw it over to Samora Star of the Week. Brandon, what do you got for me?
So we alluded to it, and this happened the Central and South game that we had. So it was tied in the middle of the seventh, and the power went out. Everything stopped over at Hobbs, or at the Nooch, sorry. Hobbs is under construction. at the Nooch. So everything went dark, and I would encourage you, if you weren't there watching the game, go and check the video that Tony Wright posted on Facebook, because he gave maybe the most honest reaction to it. I think he literally, the lights went dead, everything went dead, and he just pulled out his phone and started talking to the people, let them know what happened. It was such an honest thing. And from a broadcaster's perspective, that's like the thing you don't want to do ever. And he just had to do it. He went on, was transparent about it. And these teams had to go out the next day and finish the last inning and a third of this ball game. And so the Star of the Week, Samora Star of the Week, goes to Ethan Ayala, the junior for Central, who came in and got the save in that last half of the inning for the Central Wildcats. They ended up winning that one 10-9. And really, I mean, just a roller coaster game. It was back and forth, because the Wildcats just started insane. They started out, blew the game wide open, and then South came right back and tied it back up at 9. And then Central ended up getting that last run to put Ayala in the situation to get that save. So Ayala came in, got the save, had a little bit of trouble in that last half inning. He had to go through five batters to get his three outs, but he went through and got them. So that one goes to Ethan Ayala, because nearly a 24-hour delay between those two innings, between the seventh and the eighth for those teams was, I couldn't imagine the emotions there. And for those teams just to have to come back, play the one inning and then leave.
No warm-up time. Get on.
Warm-up time at all. You go back in, runners go out, back on base. I mean, such a situation that you would never, ever once in a lifetime plan for, and you've got to do it. So our Star of the Week this week goes to Ethan Ayala. I mean, just a situation unlike no other. Went in, composed, got the win for the Wildcats. Nothing left to say. I mean, just lights out for him.
Good stuff. Sweet. Well, congrats to Ethan and Grill. Well done there for Central. So now let's get into the Star Sports slate, talk about some of the big games that have happened and are going to happen. A couple weeks ago on this podcast, we talked a lot about Mesa versus CSU Pueblo. It seems like this year's battle went to Mesa, especially in baseball, where, you know, if you go back a couple weeks, Brandon and I were on this podcast saying the Thunderwolves are going up to MSU Denver and coming home to play Colorado Mesa. And we were saying, okay, this stretch is going to decide how your season's going to kind of be decided. The Pack ended up going 0-8 in those games. So swept up at MSU Denver, a couple close ones, a couple blowouts. And then against Mesa, they lost 7-3, 4-3, 13-4, and 9-6. So that shows they got some stuff going. There were some close games, but couldn't get the job done in those games.
And it just goes back to, you know, when they started out this season on that big losing streak, this was their problem. They just could not get that final hit to bring all those runners home. I mean, the Thunderwolves have just left so many runners on base this season, it feels like. And, you know, that's what happened in these games, because we know they have the bats to compete with numbers like this. And we know they can put up the runs. We've seen it this season from them. We've seen it. It seems that, you know, almost every season we have a few of those games where the Thunderwolves go, you know, 21-4, just like they did against Highlands a few weeks ago, 26-3 against UCCS a few weeks ago. So we know that there's no shortage of offense, but in these big moments, it just seems that that's what's let the Thunderwolves down this season. You know, when you're in those close games with those teams that you know you're going to have to score runs against them to beat them, and you're going to have to keep pace with them, you're going to have to match that tempo that they bring. Because when a team, especially like this Colorado Mesa team, is hitting as well as it is, it's almost discouraging to the other offense, because you're in a slump, you're not hitting the ball well, and it just feels that you're doing everything wrong times 10, because they're doing things, they're doing it so well against you. And it was just like you said, man, it was such an uphill battle. And I thought they would at least get a couple games out of these two series, but they just couldn't. I mean, it was tough games. And that MSU series as well, I mean, they had that the game delayed, the Friday game delayed, and then they had a few other, I mean, they had a few games with nasty weather up there, just wind, rain, everything going on. So everything was against them up in Denver, but you know, come back and you face Mesa and you just can't get the wins in.
Despite the dramatic language by me and Brandon so far about how that's the season, you got to decide those things out. They did go 0-8 in that, but they're still sitting right now at 12-12 in the RMAC. They had a really big series this last week against Colorado Christian, taking 3 of 4 from them, and that kind of knocked them down a peg. So right now, CSU Pueblo is number 5 in the RMAC baseball standings, which of course only comes from the league record. So at 12-12, you know, they're not in a terrible spot. The early season stretch was great. This is a team that, you know, that showed, hey, they may have some trouble against those best teams, Mesa and MSU Denver, who are number 1 and 2. But over these coming weeks, they've only got a few weeks left of normal play, but they play Adams State, who's a very beatable team, and then they'll get a shot against Regis, who is one spot ahead of CSU Pueblo. If you can do well in those series, I mean, I think they're in a position they could be in the RMAC tournament, and then see if maybe you can make some chaos from there. But so the season is not over for CSU Pueblo, and they, you know, let's take a look at kind of the positive side. They are starting to kind of figure it out this weekend. They won some big games, and so I'm excited to see what happens from here. You never know. You never know in baseball. If you're hot at the right time, that's what matters.
Yeah, and really, I mean, you couldn't ask for the CSU Pueblo baseball team. You couldn't ask for two better opponents to face, because you know that CSU Pueblo, no matter the sport, no matter the time of the year, no matter no matter who's coaching, it's going to be a dogfight against Adams State. You know the Thunderwolves are going to come in and they're going to be pumped up to play the Grizzlies. It's just something about that green. I don't know what it is. At first, I thought it was just football and I thought it was just Risto, but it carries over it's to everything. Yeah. I don't know what it is, but I think the Thunderwolves, they're going to have definitely the emotions with them at Adams. And then, I mean,
massive home run park, by the way. That's one of my favorite.
Yeah, that is a ballpark home run park.
You can hit it out a good bit. Boost some stats, guys.
Oh yeah, that is a huge. That is an offensive playground.
That's the Coors Field of the RMAC in a league full of Coors Fields.
Oh, I like that. We're gonna have to keep that one going. And then
that's good.
They take on a Regis team that they already beat this season, that they know they can beat, and they're right there with them in the rankings. So, like you said, Ben, I mean, it's not out of the realm for the Thunderwolves to, you know, they lost the 8 against Mesa and MSU, but they could, I don't want to say easily, but I think it's in the range of they could probably win 8 against these Adams and Regis teams. I really think that they could.
Yeah, that would be so huge. Let's say they go 6-2, 7-1. You meant 8-0. That would be amazing. But that would put them in such a good spot here for this playoff run. The RMAC tournament, too, the way it's set up is you kind of, you know, you kind of have to be hot at that point. It's a double elimination, right? Is that how that works?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, you get into that tournament and then you just need to play hard from there. You'll play tough teams, but you never know. It's baseball. Just get hot at the right time.
Yeah, and I think they really could. And like you said, this weekend, you know, they had the two games against the University of New Mexico, and then, you know, this series against Carter Christian. I mean, they figured something out. They had some good
close
runs
wins.
And you know, they got those runs through, and that's the biggest thing, because when you look at those eight games they played, I mean, they were in a lot of those games and they were close, and they really just couldn't push over that next level, over that hump that they were just barely stuck on. So for them to get wins like this against Carter Christian, it's good to see. And it's a great morale booster, because those long win streaks, or those long losing streaks, it just feels like, you know, it just feels like someone's bashing you on the head every single day and you can't get out of it. People are talking to you about it. People are asking you questions. Well, why can't you guys win? Why can't you guys do this right? Mm. And it just feels good to get that off your back, to get those wins, and to win a few in a row, because that always makes it a little bit better.
And keep in mind, the last time that Adams State and CSU Pueblo played was last year at Alamosa. The Pac won 27-6. So that's a great last taste to go from. Face them, get down there, win that series, and we'll talk from there. So their season definitely is not over for CSU Pueblo, despite me being dramatic. Wasn't the best results against Mesa and MSU Denver, but this team's not dead yet. So keep on playing from there, Coach Applegate's guys. I'm excited to see how the season keeps going. We also talked about the softball team. They were playing Colorado Mesa. Again, a similar big series. They split those four games against a really good Mesa team. A 3-2 win on Friday, followed by an 11-3 loss, a 4-7 loss. But then they won that final game. It was such a big game for CSU Pueblo. They won it 8-7 in eight innings. And, you know, it was super cool. Rogers had the big hit late. And, you know, for the first time since 2014, CSU Pueblo took 2 of 4 against Mesa, which is awesome. I mean, that's how dominant, you know, Mesa has been. But Raylan Rogers' big hit was huge for them. And this is starting to show a little bit of a change for CSU Pueblo softball, who I'd say I'm pretty encouraged by that. They followed that up to play UCCS. They also split that series, another tough team. So they're headed down their schedules, kind of stretch run with a lot of momentum, having stood up against a tough team.
Yeah, and softball, it's such a change going back and forth between baseball and softball. Hmm. Like, it feels like we do every week, Ben. I mean, you go over, watch a few innings of, you know, a Saturday baseball game, then you go over and watch the softball games, and, you know, the girls are chanting, you know, their emotions, they're into it, and the games are, you know, it's not different, because baseball is, you know, it's very traditional, and you know, those guys, they show emotion where they do, but softball is so much, it's not, I wouldn't say it's more fun, but it's maybe from a fan's perspective, I would say it is a little more fun because you know, these girls are in it the whole time. They're chanting, they're screaming. And that series against Mesa was so much fun to watch. I got to watch about 2¾ out of the four games of that. Mm-hmm. So it was so much fun to watch that. I mean, great games. And I mean, just the wins there. I mean, you talk about how dominant Mesa has been, and for the Thunderwolves to get 2 out of 2 of those, I mean, that is just absolutely fantastic.
Yeah. Absolutely. And they're actually in a bit of a different spot to the baseball team, in that they're kind of going to have to fight for their spot in the RMAC tournament right now. They had some early season losses. They're 11-23 in the conference, but they're starting to get hot. I mean, you never know. Once again, they've got some big games coming up. So we'll be keeping an eye on the softball team. We're talking about it now. Kind of one of the big series is at home against Black Hills State coming up this next weekend. Black Hills State are 5-31 within the league. So I want to see CSU Pueblo take 4. You're playing them 4 games. If you can take 4 of these games, that's so huge. And that would jump them right back into that conversation, one of those backseed games. So those games are on Saturday at 12:00 and then Sunday at 11:01 coming up at the beautiful Rawlings Softball Complex. It could be the last home games of the season, because their final series after that is at Chadron State out in Nebraska. So if you want one last chance to go see the softball team at home, go see that. And these guys might earn a playoff. You never know. They might earn a home playoff game if they want to, though. I think they've probably got to go 6-2, 7-1, or 8-0 down this 8-game stretch. So big games for CSUP softball, but I'm encouraged by how they fought against Mesa. You never know.
Yeah, you never know. And just like how we talked about with baseball, I think, you know, I think it's clicking with the softball team. I mean, the performances we saw, especially against UCCS, I mean, those are always close games for softball. And really, I mean, you want your best players to be playing great. Caitlin Cole had a multi-homer game.
She's been so good all season.
She has been just fantastic. And, you know, you have these offensive players. I mean, Ashley Tosh, Marissa Robertson, those players that have been there, they've been your performers all year. They're coming up late in the stretch. You know, even games that, you know, you lose close, you want your best players to be playing their best baseball right now, or their best softball in this case. And I think that, you know, our women's softball team, I think they're doing it right now.
Absolutely. Yeah. That puts Caitlin Cole at 11 home runs in the season, and she's just a freshman. So that's a big deal.
She is raking.
Yep. Good stuff. So I'm excited to see how the rest of the season goes for them. Big games against Black Hills State. Can't wait for that. Okay, then let's also, I want to throw a little bit of a highlight on to a big game coming up in girls soccer. So we've talked a lot about Pueblo County girls soccer seems to be, not only are they up, they are off to an amazing start. They're 7-1. They've been scoring a ton of goals. They're right now scored 35 goals as a team, only allowed 6. They play Pueblo West this week. That's their big game for that as well. Pueblo West girls soccer is 4-3 right now. That game is Tuesday night at 6:30. So that's going to be out in Pueblo West. Huge, huge game in deciding the SCL for girls soccer. Pueblo West is 4-0 within the league. Pueblo County is 4-0 in the league. So just like baseball, the rubber meets the road this week.
Yeah, and it is going to be so much fun. I feel like, you know, we've kind of been talking about it, and we need to, you know, we got to give this love to these girls soccer teams because, I mean, this is, it always seems to be this way with a few of these sports. You know, maybe sometimes it's track, sometimes it may be volleyball, sometimes, you know, it's even basketball where we find the Hornets and the Cyclones facing off, and it just fuels the emotion more because that rivalry is already there. Yeah. And, you know, you see it in the athletes' faces, and it's going to be a good matchup. I mean, we've kind of been talking about Pearson Weimer all season.
Yep.
She has been lights out. She's up to 14 goals now. And I think this County Hornet team, they're playing good. And it almost, you know, similar to the situation we have in baseball where counties, you know, they may be a little bit more of the favorite, and it's not the situation that we normally see for the Hornets. So I think keep your head here. This is going to be a great game. I mean, it's just going to be lights out. And I mean, I hope the weather stays great for it because this is going to be a good one.
Absolutely. Yeah. And Caitlin Peterson on the Pueblo West side has 9 goals and 9 assists so far. So not a slouch on that side either. A really good start for both teams. And, you know, Pueblo West, again, tough, you know, 5A league schedule early on. They played a lot of tough teams. They're 4-3 overall. But I mean, again, it just shows that County and West are both 4-0 within their league so far. The rubber meets the road here in this big game. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm so excited about it. And just like baseball, this is kind of, we joked around about it being Mesa versus CSUP week 2 weeks ago. This week is County versus West week between the two sports. Huge games between both. County with a chance in both of them kind of as the favorite to push down the bully in both sports, which I'm so excited about.
Yeah, and really, I mean, we've talked about County a lot. Pueblo West in this matchup, they've had so many close games. Their overall record could, you know, they could have two more in the win column. Yeah, I really think they could be up there just the same as County. So, I mean, they had the two close losses to start their season against Air Academy and George Washington. And like we always talk about, I mean, you know, those upper classifications teams, they are no slouches when it comes to this. When you play those teams from up north, you're always going to have a chip on your shoulder, no matter if you're from Pueblo West and Centennial South. You know, you're always going to have a chip on your shoulder playing against some of those teams. So I think this game is, it's the heavyweight matchup of the season for the SEL, and it's really going to be a good one. I think it's going to be an exciting one.
And the last time we saw these two teams was at the end of last year, double overtime, Pueblo West won 2-1, and that clinched them the league title. So that was a big game, and I'm sure that's been, you know, just kind of there for County since then. So get a little bit of a revenge shot. See if things can turn on its head this week.
There we go. It's going to be good. Yeah.
Getting myself fired up for that game. It's a great game. And then like we talked about earlier, the last game I want to highlight is baseball, County, Pueblo West. It's going to be a massive game. Heavyweight bout. That's going to be on Saturday at 10 a.m. out in Pueblo West. So beautiful place to play baseball. Hopefully the weather cooperates. Game 1 of 2 between these two great teams. It's going to be a blast.
Yeah, it is going to be so much fun. And just like with soccer, just like we've been talking about with baseball, this is the matchup. I mean, these two teams, they both want to sweep each other. I think what would be more fitting than County winning at West this weekend?
Yep.
And then on the flip side, West beating the Hornets.
That's what happened last year, I think. Yeah.
I think it would just be so storybook for both these teams. But coming into it, I mean, County's undeniably, they're going to be favored going into it. They're going to keep their heads. But Pueblo West, we know what they can do. We know the talent that they've been playing with this season. It's going to be a fun one.
That's right. You got the underdog with a bunch of pedigree here. It's going to be a lot of fun. Let's see what happens. So Pueblo West, Pueblo County, those two big games. Once again, baseball Saturday at 10 a.m. could be really big for deciding the SDL. Girls soccer is Tuesday night at 6:30 p.m. County, Pueblo West. Could be really huge in deciding the SDL for girls soccer. So big deal, big games. Going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a lot of fun. And like you said, too, last chance to watch Pac softball this upcoming weekend. So that's going to be really exciting. Get out there. I mean, these girls, they're playing great. And it's just exciting. It's fun to go watch them. They're out there. And I think we're going to have good weather again. You know, knock on wood. We're going to have good weather again. Yep. And we're through our little spring stretch. So I think it's going to be a good weekend.
That's good. Give me just like a couple sentences of, you know, how's Brandon Samora's frisbee golf game been coming along? Disc golf. I always say frisbee golf, disc golf.
You know, the game, it's not in top tier form yet, but it's close. Mm. It's really close. We're kind of switching in some new discs. We're feeling out the weather. You know, times are changing. The grass is going to get greener, so we're not going to be playing as many skips. We're going to have grabby grass, so it's going to be fun. We're going to be getting in. We're going to be moving around Colorado, too. We're going to be playing some courses outside of Pueblo. We're going to have to, you know, we're going to have to sidetrack those ones, Ben. We're going to have to really dig in and, you know, go to those spring courses. But you know, the game's feeling good. Game's feeling good.
I'm glad to hear that. I put a lot of money on Brandon Samora to make some noise this year. That's great. Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. For Ben Case and Brandon Samora, been a lot of fun talking Pueblo sports with you. If you enjoy this podcast, send it to someone that you know and like. Send it to them. Say, hey, check out this podcast. We'd really appreciate that. As well as check out PuebloStarJournal.org to see more of our podcasts, more of our work that we do, writing articles for the community. Our big thing is dig deeper. So we're digging deeper on sports, digging deeper on things going on in the community. And we would really appreciate it if you'd like to be a part of that with us. So for Ben and Brandon, have a great rest of your week.